Thomas, aren't we?
You have to pick one.
Oh, wow.
Jordan, he hit record. Don't answer that.
Welcome to the Train Smart podcast with Velox Training Group. We've got a couple guests on today. I'm Nick Young, the lead instructor and host of Velox Training Group. We've got Joel Park here.
Hello.
PSTG. And we've got Jordan from Arise Manufacturing, your friend and mine. Jordan, tell us about what you do, man. What do you do?
Oh, man. Where do you want to get started at? It's good to see you guys. You know, anytime I'm around you guys, I cannot not smile. So usually we're on a range, but I'm kind of bummed that we're not shooting together, shooting some fun today, you know.
Everyone loves shooting some fun. Yeah.
Yeah, we love shooting fun.
You got to shoot some fun, man. I mean, you cannot not shoot and not have fun. So might as well make it fun. You know,
I'm humbling. It's an exercise of self-hatred when I go shoot and have practice. Yeah. But anyway, Jordan, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm Jordan with Arise Manufacturing. Kind of started through, you know, kind of like everybody else, you know, like we see people on social media, we see people on YouTube, and everybody's doing it, right? They're actually out there and they're shooting. And so a friend of mine invited me to competition, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna do decent, you know, like it's older gentleman, like I should be able to hold my own. And I got there and I couldn't hit a target to save my life, and I had malfunction after malfunction. And so I did what any sane person would do and just bought a ton of ammo and just started shooting like crazy.
I would have bought a better.
And so well, actually it was a P80, so it was a Polymer 80 that I built myself. And you know, so it was like,
I guess that thing would have malfunctioned.
You're like, oh, what a surprise.
Well, I think when he comes back to it, you know, his grip, you know, my grip was really bad. And so that's why I was having, you know, it was my magazines. I was using non-factory Glock magazines. And so once a buddy was like, hey, switch to factory Glock mags, that thing performed great. And it probably had, you know, 10, 15,000 rounds, you know, the first 6 months I had it. But anyway, so I was trying to get guys to come shoot matches with me, and nobody would come shoot. So I was like, would you guys shoot a match if I put on a local match? And they're like, yeah. So, you know, we started this thing. We're actually about to celebrate our second year here coming up this next month. And we call it Texas Ally Match. And so we started Texas Ally Match. And the goal with that was to get guys to come in and you know, shoot together. And then we'd go learn together. So we'd go take classes. Like we've been at Nick's class and Joel, you've been there too. And, you know, a bunch of us will come take a class and we'll go shoot matches together. And it's just been phenomenal to see it grow. And through that, you know, that's how Arise started. It was something I needed. And, you know, I'm always talking to guys in the industry, like, hey, what needs to change in the industry? What is something that you would do differently? And, that's really how Arise started, you know?
So specifically, Arise is optics plates. Like, what issue did you can name names or not, I don't care. But like, what need did you see, or what was missing, or what was failing, or why did you decide to start making plates?
Really just wanted to do something. You know, I had a machine shop, and I'm all about businesses and creating new businesses and finding new ideas and just at least trying it to see if it'll work, you know? And I just, I remember drawing this kind of like on a paper napkin. It was like, Ryan, my business partner engineer, who like really makes stuff happen, from my ideas. Like when I try to put them on paper, you know, I remember he was like, dude, this is going to be impossible. If not, this probably won't work. And I was like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Because I like a good challenge. And, so we started down this journey of how do you make something, you know? And I remember that when we first launched, we're only about a year and a half old now, a year and 6 months. But when we first launched, I shot a major match in Southern Illinois and I lost zero. And, it was one of those, like I was pretty upset because it's a pretty major match. And so I called Ryan. I was like, dude, I think we have a pretty big issue. And he's like, no, we're good. And I was like, no, we have a major issue. I lost zero. And, anyway, we came back home, looked at all of the specs and everything and kind of find out, like, we didn't make the plate that is to our standard that we do now. And we ended up calling every one of our customers and saying, hey, have you lost here? Have you had an issue with your optic plate? And there was only one other guy that did. And so one of the things we did is we said, hey, we're going to figure this out and we'll get back to you. So we re-engineered all of our optic plates to extremely tight tolerances. We changed all of our hardware. We changed everything about it from the ground up, which for a startup company, that's a lot to handle. We threw away a lot of money and it hurt really bad, especially right out the gate. But what we did is we sent every one of our customers brand new plates with brand new hardware. And that's what started on this journey of, hey, let's not make it an optic plate, but let's make it to the best standards we possibly can. And through our failure, that's where we came to where we are today. And we're known for our tight tolerances.
Was the shrouds part of the plan from the beginning then? Was that like the niche you were looking to fill then, was the plate and the shroud, right?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. So when we first started, obviously we started with the SRO, but we actually had the 507 comp and the 407C ready to launch very closely behind it. But yeah, our goal was to continue to innovate on the shroud side of things, because you have to use our optic plate for the shroud to actually work with the way we designed it. And so our goal was to continue to innovate and have shrouds for the different optics that we carry and we're going to be carrying. We have additional ones we have coming out as well.
Very cool. Why are your plates so tight? That's so like the first plate that you sent me, I'm installing it. And my first thought was like, this thing is tighter than Dick's hack band. Like, why is this thing so tight? Like, I have to take like a little, plastic mallet, to tap it into place. And not only do I have to tap the plate into place, but the optic also fits very tightly on the plate, which, we could say like using like CHPWS plates before, dude, not tight at all. Like optic is like swimming around on the plate. And to me is just like, I don't know, at the time I thought that was normal. And then I use your stuff and I'm like, oh no, that, like, I was being lied to before. Like, this is how everything should fit right now. Like, this is a good quality plate because it fits so tight.
Absolutely. And I think it's going back to, like, we're all shooters in the company and we all care, we go through extreme lengths to make sure when we manufacture a plate, it's coming off the way we want it to fit on our own guns. And I think, having that quality in-house, it makes a big difference. To keep up with the demand, we've tried to send manufacturing out outside of our shop. It just does not work. We have yet to have somebody to make an optic plate the way we make it in-house. And so our goal with that is just buy more machines and just, keep on innovating the way we're doing it. We kind of have our own IP of how we actually manufacture our optic plates. And I think it's worked out very, very well for us. I remember when you got your first plate, you actually called me and was like, hey dude, I can't get this in the gun. And I was like, yeah, you can. you just gotta hit it in. It's been a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun doing this and, we love, hearing it from guys like you guys that are in the industry and you guys have a great name for yourselves and you guys are instructing thousands of people on a yearly basis. I mean, to hear that means that we're doing it the right way, the way it should be done.
Well, I have a Jordan story to tell that you might not appreciate, but I remember the first time I met you, it was like day one. So Nick and I were teaching a class in Texas. Yeah. We're downstairs having breakfast. Nick's getting his waffles or whatever you're getting food. And you come over and introduce like, hi, I'm Jordan, where we're talking, you're telling me about the plate. You're like, yeah, Nick said one of his plates came loose. I'm like, oh, really? He goes, yeah. He said it took like 20,000 rounds or 25,000 rounds, but one of the screws came loose. It's like, so I've been talking to the engineer and I'm thinking we need to redo all the way we do our screws and stuff. And I was like, Jordan, I'm like, what? I'm like, dude, there's 20,000 rounds. I was like, the Loctite would have gave up the screw. I mean, who knows, got too hot and dropped out of a car. Who knows? I'm like, dude, most of your customers will never shoot that much. You're like, oh, really? You don't think so? I was like, no, I would not. I'm like, and that's one person. You're like, yeah, I know, but I think maybe we need to look into it. And I'm like, dude, you need to relax. Like, that was my first Jordan impression. I was like, oh, this guy's like definitely has an attention to detail. and you were willing to like scrap all the hardware you were using because Nick had one screw come loose in 20,000 rounds. And I was like, holy crap, well, this guy's a little bit insane, but I kind of like it.
Well, and I think that's the way you have to be, right? So like in order to be successful in whatever you want to be in successful in, you have to have a passion for it. And you have to have that drive to like not be satisfied with anything. And we're always looking at ways we can improve on our designs and other designs that we have coming out. And that's why we tell people, I think, Joel, I even told you this, hey, find me a failure and we'll make it better. You know, and that's what I tell people all the time. Hey, if you find a failure with any of our stuff, let me know, because we're gonna innovate and we're gonna make it better. And we're constantly doing that. I mean, even with our shrouds and the way we're doing our shrouds, we have some stuff we're working on that I think is gonna be pretty awesome.
Cool. Well, what do we do? Should we talk about the two types of plates you offer?
I think
Let's talk about, you made the original style. So is it Aegis? Is that right?
Aegis, the Aegis system. Yeah. So Aegis system is our optic plate. And then you have the shroud that you can connect. And one thing that's really cool, it doesn't matter which gun platform you have. If we make an optic plate for it, the Aegis system will universally fit across all the platforms. Okay. So in essence, if you just wanted to buy a Glock plate and then you have a CZ Shadow or a Staccato, the shroud system, you can remove the four screws and then you can move it from platform to platform. Sure. That was something that was really important to us, so that that way they fit and they function the way that they needed to across all platforms. Through that, one of the things that we actually engineered, which I wish more optic companies and gun companies would do this, we had to go back to the drawing board, going back to that crazy thing about, you know, actually caring about what we're doing. But all of our optic plates, except for Staccato and MMP 2.0, we all use the same hardware across the board. And our thought process was that, hey, you shouldn't have to figure out which optic screws or which plate screws you're using for this or for that. And so we wanted to uniform that across the board. So all of our optic plates, they use the same hardware across the board. And we just engineered the optic plate to meet our standard, as long as the gun could meet that standard as well. There are some stuff like gun manufacturers are making certain things, so we have to kind of adapt that way. But we do our best to make sure we can use the same set of screws for everything.
Well, I like that all the screws are labeled also, because I sometimes, like with some of your competitors, it'll have like the plates in one, like in one bag, and all the screws are in the other, and it'll be like maybe two or maybe three different length of screws. So normally, me being a very detailed person, I normally will just start like testing them to see which ones, like, oh, this one's too long, this one's too short. Oh, it seems like it's about right, and like maybe the instructions have it, maybe the instructions don't. So anyway, I appreciate that you actually label like all the different screws in the hardware, so there's no guesswork to what it goes to.
Absolutely. Yeah. We try to make it easy. 1, 2, 3, you know, on your bags, it's 1, 2, 3, you know, it's very easy and you don't have to guess what you need. And, Aegis system, came out the Aegis system. Everybody loves it. You know, the cool thing is if you don't want to run a shroud, you can take the shroud off. If you want to put it on, you can put it on. You don't have to take the shroud. If you want to take the shroud off to access batteries or anything like that, you still can, which we have cutouts for the batteries if you need to. And then it's something that's a consumable item. So, let's say it gets dinged up, dented, we ask that you replace it, contact us, we'll take care of it. But all of our optic plates, doesn't matter which line, if you're on the Aegis system or we're about to go into the Lowrider, all of our optic plates come with a lifetime, no question asked warranty. So if you ever have an issue, we're going to honor it for life. And that's another thing that, you know, I feel like we do a great job manufacturing, but I think we do an even better job of customer support. And supporting shooters is what it's all about, since we are shooters.
I appreciate it. Yeah, like, Jordan, like, you're too nice. I mean, I'll just say it. You don't have to. Like, Jordan will send me a prototype that he's like, hey, I don't think, you know, he's like, just give this a try. Let me know what you think. And I'm like, oh, this isn't quite, you know, like, whatever. I have this. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. I apologize about that. I'll get a new one to you right away. I'm like, you big dummy. I'm like, you just sent me a prototype that neither one of us knew was going to work. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'll make it right. I'm like, there's nothing to make right.
His face, man, is we're just red for the audience. Good old Texans. We're just good old Texas boys that want to do the right thing, you know, lead with integrity and doing the right thing. You know, we got to get back to businesses doing that, not only leading with integrity, but doing the right thing, you know, having awesome customer support and standing behind the products that you put out there, you know, and that was one of the things that like, hey, how can we make this even better? You know, and it's like, well, let's do a lifetime warranty. No questions asked, you know? And then if it's bad enough, we'll actually send a label and say, hey, we want to see it because we want to re-engineer the failure, which we've done a couple times, and we figured out some things about our coding to make it better. So, but yeah, we're all about that, man, for sure. So yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, I was going to ask who is this shroud for? Who would you say the shroud is for?
I would say it's for everybody. But I'm very biased, but here's the deal. I was going from, a competition walking from point A to point B. Right. And I was walking with my gun, and the holster, and I was walking from point A to point B, fell out, landed on the concrete. And I was like, oh no, that's a $500 optic. I'm going to have to get a new one. And I was like, wait, no, I have my Aegis system on there. I don't have to worry. And that's something that's reassuring to know that like, hey, if you happen to drop your firearm, now not only like is your optic going to be protected better than anything else out there, but it's going to hold zero. And we have some videos coming out where we actually demolish the optic, absolutely demolish the optic. And what's really cool about it is the optic still functioned and the optic still held zero, which is the most important thing, because that's why we designed the shroud. The shroud was designed of, let's say we break the glass. Okay, that would be a failure in a lot of people's eyes is, hey, you break the glass. But what we want to do is like, could it still be used effectively? And what we mean by use effectively, does a dot still turn on? Can you still see the dot? And could you still get shots on target where you need those shots to go?
Like,
and for us, that's a big deal.
What if I was on the ground and I was in a gunfight and I had no gun, and Nick was up in a helicopter or an airplane? He could like throw his gun, maybe not chamber it for safety, throw it out of the helicopter towards me, and then it could land down. And once it landed on like a concrete or a parking lot or whatever, I could pick that bad boy up, rack it, and then with confidence, I could engage the bad guys. Like this, like it's set up for that kind of a situation.
Absolutely.
Could totally do
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of our goal, you know, is just gives you another level of assurance. Because let's face it, when guys are spending $500 on an optic or plus, you know, some optics are even more than that. They're expensive. And, you know, the time to wait for something to get fixed or get replaced, you know, it's just another layer of assurance. But whether you want the shroud or not the shroud, what we're really known for, as you guys mentioned earlier, is our optic plates. And so you can run the Aegis system as a whole with the shroud on it, or you can just run the plate and then add it the shroud on in a later time. Or you can go with our new one, is our lowrider. And that's basically just a low plate with the tolerances that we're known for. And we're having a lot of fun with it. It's been a great project. And that was kind of spurred on by Nick, actually. He was like, dude, you need to come out with just a low plate, you know?
Yeah, because I think some people, like, you know, maybe they don't want the shroud, right? And then the other plate, the Aegis plate, was still kind of fixed. And it's like, well, if I don't want a shroud, you know, a smaller plate or a thinner plate would definitely make sense. I think for, you know, dudes that are shooting maybe like USPSA, like, I think the low rider is perfect.
Sure.
Guys that are, you know, maybe you're taking pistol rifle classes and you have a pistol in your holster. Maybe you have to like do things like drop down to prone with your rifle and the optics might bang the ground. Like I could totally see the shroud just giving you a little peace of mind.
Or like if you're a copper or you carry a gun all the time, like, dude, those things hit everything. It's like seats, walls, shelves, door frames, like whatever. I mean, it's just like walk around. People always like hit their gun or their holster and stuff. So, I mean, I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And one thing that's neat, and some people may know this or not know this, we're going to be coming out with some additional videos with this, but our Aegis system, like Staccato, is actually lower than factory. Glock, M&P, and there's a couple of other ones, like what you were saying, Nick, is they do raise it. And it's because of our design, the way it has to be to mount those side screws. But some of our designs are actually lower than factory plates out there, especially like the Canic Rifle S. But, you know, for the lowrider series, like, hey, how can we make the lowest plate possible, but to our standards that we're known for and having extremely tight tolerances on them. And it's been a great project for us, and it's been a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun with it. And again, across the board, we're trying to use the same set of screws across all the different gun manufacturers the best we can.
I like it. All right. You have a new product coming that I'm pretty excited about. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So just like I said, how did your eyes start? You know, it's always just talking to people, you know, just, hey, what would you do differently? What's a need? And I ask that from guys all the time, Joel, Nick, you know, everybody out there. Ben, I'm just like, hey, guys, what would you do differently? And I remember, Nick, you were on a conversation. You were like, hey, man, I tried a clear piece of scotch tape, and I liked that idea. And I said, okay, you got me thinking.
To include the optic.
To include the optic, correct. Yep. And if you remember, I never talked to you about it for months, right? And the next thing you know, I brought that to ORD, was our first prototype. And I kind of took your idea and just ran with it. And the occluder is really cool. So it's basically going to come with a lot of different types of attachments. So you have a full occluder that's all black. You have a kill flash if you want to run kill flash and you're doing stuff, night vision at night. And then we have all of the different types of occlusion. So we have ones that are similar to scotch tape. It allows you to kind of see that there's color behind you or there's objects behind you, but it fully occludes.
It's opaque. Opaque.
It's opaque. Exactly. Yep. It's opaque. And then we kind of went with that idea and ran with it. And we said, hey, let's offer different opaqueness to give you just a full occlusion of just the dot, but you still have situational awareness around it. And so that one is we do everything in house. So our laser, we had to switch some stuff out on it. Unfortunately, it's the timing, but we should have those ready to go any day now. Like if not today, maybe like tomorrow, they should be hitting people's hands. So we're pretty excited about it.
Yep, we are too.
I know you guys are itching.
Yeah, I like the idea of an opaque occluder just because that kind of should, like, that should be what it should look like, right? When you're shooting, yes. Like, you should have a hard target focus, and then in the very back, it should be kind of blurry. So, to me, it's like, yep, this kind of would show people what it should look like anyway. And then the fact that you have different levels of opaqueness, I don't know if that's a word, it is now, like, you have different levels where, like, yes, the whole glass is opaque, and then a couple of them, yep, you know, there's like just opaque in the middle. Like, I think it's pretty cool, man. And I like the fact that it's modular as well. You could change all that stuff out as you see fit.
Yeah, it's very simple. You change it up for what you want to use. And then going back to, since we're on this subject, so going back to like the shroud version, a lot of our optic plates for the Aegis system, we've lowered them and then we moved them back. So a lot of times you have to remove the rear sight. So what we've done is with the occluder system, now we have a front sight that's part of the drop-in feature. So you can drop in a front sight if you need to run a front sight for your department, or if you just want to have backup sights. So that's something that's pretty cool about that. We're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, we are too, sir.
Oh yeah, brother.
What does it take to make a supporting firearm platform viable? Like, is it popularity? Is it time to recoup costs? Like, all that stuff.
So let's say I have some random gun, Jordan, and I want you to make an optics plate for my gun model you've never heard about. Like, what does it take that a consideration?
Yeah. So we kind of look at everything. We look at the market. We see, hey, the red dots. What are the popular red dots? What are the popular gun manufacturers out there? We have SKUs lined up for the next 3 years of things we're going to be kind of like a marketing plan, if you will, of like when we're going to release new product lines. And so, you know, it's we've had some weird ones. Like, people reach out to us like, hey, will you do this? And we're like, that's not really in our wheelhouse, you know, and we'll send people other places as well. because at the end of the day, we want people to have the right solution for them. We would love it to be with us, but if it's not with us, we want to help them get that solution. Like I talked to a guy, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and he was looking for screws. And I was like, you know, whether he used our plate or not, I just wanted to get him a solution. So I was like, hey, this is where I would start with screws. And we ended up sending him some screws, and I think it actually worked out for him. So, you know, just because someone comes to us like, hey, we want you to make this product, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to make it. We'll put it on the drawing board and we'll evaluate it, but it needs to make sense for us too, because if we're tying up machining time to make something, it needs to make sense for the business and kind of what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, there's a lot of really good idea fairies out there that they think that they want something, and it's like, yeah, that may or may not be good. So I think like making something that makes sense and like adds to people's experience shooting the gun, that's probably what drives it.
Absolutely. Well, and not only that, like we make everything in house. So like we have to make our own jigs to make a jig, to make a jig, to make a part. And so with that, it's, you know, we think about how much time is that going to take to gear up and tool up for that. You know, it's not just like, hey, we can draw on the software and just make it happen. To be making at the standard that we make our stuff, we put a lot of effort and thought into it.
Yeah.
So you should see our idea board. It's pretty awesome.
I like it. I like it a lot. Your Texas Outlaw matches. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
You put on all kinds of matches. I've actually shot one before. I thought it was pretty fly. You get a lot of people out competing and training and stuff, which I can definitely appreciate. So like, what is the Texas Outlaw matches all about?
Yeah. So thank you so much for bringing that up. So Texas Outlaw matches, my mission statement with that is learn, train, and grow. And so ideally what I want to see guys do is they come up, they shoot a match and realize kind of where they are. And then they go take training from guys like yourselves. You know, we got Joel and Nick and Ben and all the great guys that are out there that we get to work with and train with. And hopefully we all go do some classes together, or people go do it one-on-one as well. And then our goal is that hopefully you come back and shoot a match with us or with someone else, and that you can continue that iteration after iteration. And through that, you're being able to see your skill level gets better and better and better. Because you're hopefully taking what you're learning from these classes and applying them to matches, and you're applying them to your own shooting abilities. Because at the end of the day, our shooting is to protect our livelihood, our families, and our country. And without knowing how to use those effectively, what good is the weapon, right? And so that's why I started Texas Outlaw Matches, was to do that, so guys could use their weapons effectively. And the kind of matches we do a weekly match at Big Tech's range every week. It's a weekly match. I don't think we only missed like, I think, 4 Wednesdays in the last 2 years we've done it, which is pretty impressive. But we do pistol PCC or 22, and that's open. Our youngest shooter is 10 years old, and our oldest, a grandma that's like 87, I believe. And we have a range of different shooters from beginners all the way up to pros. And then we do a 2-gun match where we have targets out to 300 yards currently. Super cool. And that's pistol and rifle. Some guys will do pistol and PCC. It's kind of up to them. And then we just signed a deal with Quantified Performance to offer scope carbine matches in the whole state of Texas. So what that's going to look like for us is we're going to do scope carbine all across the state of Texas. That way, every month it's a different arena. And it's a different feeling, different wind, different. It's going to really challenge guys. And our hope with that is, again, they come and shoot a match, they go get training from guys that are in that scope carbine area, and they learn how to shoot at distances now. So that's kind of like our newest thing for 2025 for Texas Outlaw Match. We're really excited about.
They're going to come shoot some fun.
Like, hell yeah,
come shoot some fun.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, man. Like, what more do you want out of, you know, someone in the firearms industry, where they're like making, not only making parts, but like you actually compete and, you know, push people to go.
He actually shoots and trains.
Yes.
That's a bit of a change also.
Oh, a massive. I think people would be surprised that, you know.
How many people don't like aren't shooters?
At all. Like at all.
Really?
It's really? Pretty wild.
You're kidding me.
Bro, you've been to SHOT Show. You know this.
Yeah, look at half those
Well, I hope when I'm in your classes, I hope I can at least hit a target or two. You know, that's kind of my goal.
I mean, I've watched you hit some targets.
Yeah.
For sure.
So there was some bullying. And some nerves, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid bullying. And hey, man, that was a Delta. That was a Delta no shoot. We need to fix that.
No, Jordan's pretty good at shooting.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Really appreciate it a lot.
Do not let him shoot one of those Fowler guns, but he's good at shooting.
Well, things are
fun. You saw me shoot the Fowler during your class. That was fun.
You were shooting some fun for sure.
I was shooting some fun.
Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about or give us any hints to products that you may be launching pretty soon?
Really, I just want this to be encouragement to others, you know, as I want other people to get out there and go take classes, go shoot a match. You know, sometimes our pride can get in the way and we can be like, oh, I don't need other people to see how I shoot. And I think that's the thing that can really hold you up from growing in whatever ability you may have. And so I just want this to be a call for everybody. If you've never shot a match before or taken a class, go do it. Go take a class from any of these guys, you know, that are vetted and they, this is what they do for a living. And then go shoot a match. Just let your match be an evaluation of where you are as a shooter. And then once you evaluate that, go take a class and go back and shoot another match or just continue to shoot matches. That's how I did it. You know, I shot, I can't tell you how many matches before I had my first ever instruction. And when I had my first instruction, I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing. And that kind of started on this new thing of like, okay, let's start getting tight on my instruction and who I'm getting it from and make sure that I'm learning from these individuals and applying it towards my shooting ability. So I want this to be a call for anybody to get out there and go shoot a match, go get some training. And then finally, if you don't, I run into people all the time. Oh, I don't have a match around me. Go start a match. We're actually about to release something really cool. We're going to release a free curriculum for anybody that wants to start a local match. I'm going to give you a in-depth tutorial of how you can start a local match in your area. It may not work exactly the way it worked out for me in my area, but I'm going to have like, hey, you need, here's a list of 20 things you need just to get started. And this is, I'm going to give full ideas. Basically my whole business plan for Texas matches, I'm going to give away for free. Cause I want guys to starting matches all around the country. Because I think it's something that's going to help other individuals.
Very cool. Yeah. So, I would echo a lot of that. If you've never been to a match and you think that like, oh, I don't want to go cause I don't want people to like see how bad I suck. Like I could promise you, no one cares. Especially at like a local match.
They don't.
Not only does no one care, no one's ever going to remember either. So like you should just go. Yep. It's going to show you quite a bit. It'll show you what to train on and all that jazz. You should just go. It'd be great for you.
Yep. Absolutely. And one thing that's really cool about Texas matches in particular, if I can tag on this real quick, we've had so many people show up like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come. I made them like, they don't want to shoot in front of someone else. I'm said, you will not find a place. Do not. You will not find a place. I hope you both do come. But with Texas matches, you will not find a place that has. There's no agenda. There's no agenda except for seeing guys get better and better shooters. And so with that, it doesn't matter if there's a pro shooter shooting to your right. Like they want to help you out. And what's really cool about that, there's no pride there. Like we clap for people when they're shooting, you know, we have so much fun with it. And that's one of the things I think we need to change in the gun industry is there's so much pride. And there's so much like, oh, I'm better than you. Oh, I'm better at you than that. No, we need to help one another and lift each other up and not tear people down. It's so easy to tear down the wall. It takes longer to build it up. And so let's get people in the industry like that are lifting each other up and helping each other grow in all aspects.
I
like how positive he is. I'm like, I don't know. You've met a lot of people in the industry, but
very positive.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Jordan, if people want to get a hold of you, they want to go shoot a Texas Outlaw match, or they want,
or they have questions plate. About plates.
Yeah, maybe they want a plate in a shroud or a super cool lowrider plate. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so Texas Outlaw Matches is on Instagram, just Texas Outlaw Match. And then as far, say that again.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? Yeah, so just Texas Outlaw Matches, or Texas Outlaw Match on Instagram. Yep. And then for Arise, any of our optic plates or any of the new products that we do have coming out, it's just arisemfg.com, or also on social media, arisemfg.
Very cool. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Everyone listening should go check out the Arise Manufacturing plates. They're super dope, and I promise you they are better than the ones you're using, most likely. And Jordan.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah.
No, man, it was awesome. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I love seeing you guys, and we always have a good time. So thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, dude.
All right. Bye-bye.